You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on October 25th, 2023, and is titled Three at a Time. Grab your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Samuel, and let's join Steve and the message.
How many of y'all heard that we finally got a Speaker of the House today? Praise the Lord. Yeah, and by all indications, Lewis was telling me, and I got another phone call, and I went home, and I read up on him a little bit, much as I could, and tried to get his speech today. I guess that was really good, but he's Mike Johnson from Louisiana, and he appears to be a really, really good guy. It was kind of funny. We've been, you'll hear tonight, I'm going off script tonight. We're going to be in 2 Samuel. I want to talk about the three mighty men of David, and it'll be pretty important. We had a long conversation with some guys yesterday just driving home, and we got to talking. It was all about the same thing, and the Lord seemed to be kind of shoving all that our direction, and it's and that's what it's all, this whole movement and everything is about. By the way, today I've kind of been on a roll since early this morning, and speaking into some people's lives. I sent a little word up to Congress this morning early before the vote. It said it was time for one man, whoever it was, to stand with God, know that God was standing with him, take his stand, stand up against the confusion, stand up against all the stuff, and one man stand up. And then I got to counseling and whatnot today, and I didn't know what was going on. And darn if they didn't bring one from the back of the pew all the way up to the front. And he looks like he's going to be the guy by all indications. And so that was a good deal. I don't know how many of y'all know who David Webb is, but he's on the Patriot Channel. He's a really sharp guy, speaks all over the United States, and he's always talks right-wing politics. And so I listen to him a lot. So this morning they were talking about getting our government back to its grassroots. So I was called in. Well, it takes forever to get on. I never get on, or they cut me before I ever, you know. Well, I just call because I want to beat somebody up, you know. And anyhow, I got on David Webb this morning and told him I didn't expect anybody from Florida or New York City or anybody like that to understand what was going on out here. But we are getting back to the grassroots, and there is a movement. Told him there's a movement going on. It's not an organized movement, but it's a movement. And I said, you guys all stand around here talking every day about what's the answer. What's the answer? Who's the answer? This mess we're in, if everybody had a shovel, we couldn't dig our way out in 3 days. There's no way. And I told him, I said, this isn't about Democrat and Republican. This is a generational thing. I said, that's of the people, for the people, by the people. As the king goes, so goes the nation. And the people are king. And because parents didn't tend to the mindset of their kids, they didn't tend to their families, here we are. And so I said, it's all coming back to the kitchen table, David, so y'all can just talk all you want to talk and circle the wagons all you want to circle, but nobody wants to talk about it because everybody's got some dysfunctional something else going on in your family. But I said, that's going to be the key to the whole deal. And so I got to tell that on national radio this morning on my way to the sale barn just for kicks. and then it didn't take a minute. And he started talking, and they bleeped me off and went on to the next one. Nobody really wants to listen to all that long. But it's the truth. And so tonight we're going to talk about some, again, just some man stuff today. The key to every family is the man. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about women's lib. I don't care about none of that stuff. It's the man. Men need to get up and get their stuff together. That's all there is to that. I mean, we all know it. I've been talking about it forever and ever and ever. And then, but it finally dawned on me yesterday. Jake Hooker and I talked for 2 hours while I was driving yesterday. He's the one that brought this scripture that I'm going to use tonight. Hi, John. He brought this scripture to my attention. And then it's just kind of stuck with me, and I'm having a hard time getting rid of it. And there's a lot of fingers that go out from this. But one of the things that we're realizing in my closest inner circle of guys is we're really trained in Christianity. And everything that's kind of been spoken to us or something, we have a mental image of some kind. When the word worship comes out, everybody's got a thing. You know, when we use the word church, everybody's got a thing. Doesn't exactly fit the narrative of the Bible, but we've been trained in it. All the way down to the word Sabbath. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. And we've got a something that's been told to us and ingrained in us or showed to us by man. And then when you get to digging around and looking, then the Holy Spirit of God might show you something completely different. It might mean something completely different. Tonight we're going to talk about being still and knowing that I'm God. Right out of Psalms 46, a lady texted me, whatever morning, I've lost my mornings, but I was in some kind of something she had going on, and so Psalm 46, so I read it about 12 times. Didn't really know what that meant until I got to going down the road, and then Jake and I started talking, and Eugene called, and it's just, I tell you, we got so involved that I went for 4 hours and darn near run out of gas. I didn't even know where I was at. I hope I was on my side of the road, but we were just going at it, you know, and I got to thinking, how many of y'all think of yourself being still and knowing he's God while you're looking the enemy right in the face and while you're standing straight up with both eyes open? It's really quiet. Me? I always thought that was a commandment to go get in a closet by myself, fold my hands, shut my eyes, and bow my head. That may not be exactly what that is all the time. Anyhow, we're going to talk about that more later. I'm just kind of wetting your whistle just a little bit, see if anybody's interested. So, anyhow, that's about all I got. We just got a lot going on. Had a great meeting in Dickens the other night. About 130 people showed up, and out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, that's pretty near the whole county. And, man, they stuck around, and we talked and visited. And right out of that meeting, two guys stood up that was going to run for sheriff right there. What is that, Motley County right there where Dickens is? Yeah, and then King County is over where Guthrie is. And so at both counties, I think, might have some competition for sheriff around there, just out to come. That meeting kind of sealed the deal, and so we're seeing some stuff. I was really encouraged about Benjamin and the surrounding area when I got back over. We did a county by county there, whenever that was, and you don't really know. You just talk and then leave, and they've had a lot of neat things happen around over there in their local politic and with people that heard the call of God and stepping up to the plate. So anyhow, we might be doing a little damage around a little bit. So anyhow, y'all be encouraged by that. We're going to get the Murphs up here and sing a little bit, and we'll get in the word tonight, and then we'll see what happens after that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the revealing power of your spirit, that, Lord, you are a person, one person of three persons. I thank you for the threes. Tonight I just pray that you'll speak to each one of us as men and women alike. But Lord, encourage us, draw us out, help us to stand, help us to know who the enemy truly is, and to understand some things about protecting our family and the things that you are interested in, Lord. And so tonight I want to give you thanks. I believe you intervened, as many, many have prayed, that you intervened in our Congress, and we have a leader. So thank you. And so tonight we just pray your blessing on this evening. Use this time to sow good seed into good soil that we would leave here and produce a harvest. So, Lord, we give you praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In 2 Kings 6, and it says, when the servant of Elijah arose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, alas, master, what are we going to do? And he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are against us. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. Man, this is cool. and just put yourself in that, be that boy. And so I'm going to pray this as what Elisha prayed. I pray this over me and you. He said, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. Yeah. And it was a lot more. It was a lot more.
I get my best stuff while they're up there singing. You know, I really don't come all that prepared. Y'all may not know that, but if you got your Bibles, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 23, and that's where I'm going to be kind of plunking around there a little bit. We've got a problem in America, and it's a serious problem. And it's not Islam. It's not homosexuality, unnatural behavior. It's not our politics. It's not Democrats. They're kind of a problem. Now, all that I just mentioned, it's a problem. But it's probably not the biggest problem. I'm realizing some things here, and it's, and I'm not picking on anybody, but when we watched Congress up here this last couple weeks, they had a real hard time picking a leader. Now, hopefully, in the name of Jesus, they found one, because we got to have one. We got stuff to do. How many of y'all know we need leaders? See, I'm figuring something else out. You know, for 21 years, we've been here at Mule Shoe, and I've been called pastor, and I've been called reverend, and, you know, I know what's coming. If you call me pastor, I figure you need your rent paid, and if you call me reverend, you probably won't argue about something. I don't fit either one of those things very good. But I have found out, and it's not a self-declaration, it's just when your phone don't ever quit ringing, and it's from top to bottom, some people just end up leading. You're not trying to be a leader. You're not trying to have a title. You're not trying to be anything. You see stuff that's going on, and you want to fix it, and you want in the middle of it. There's people in your life that you care about, and if you know something that's beneficial to everybody, you want to tell them. And then pretty soon, if you've wrestled enough lions and bears and you've been to the mat and back a time or two or 12 or 20, you figure out just how faithful God is, and you're not afraid anymore. Since March of 2020, I mean, since September of 2001, America's been afraid. And then everybody kind of got all right. You know, it's been zero interest ever since, for 22 years. Till now it's 9%. Everybody's scared again. Diesel's been over $5 a gallon three times since then. And they get scared every time. Propaganda, false news media. Next thing you know, we're afraid again. If you're young and raising a family, you're afraid to send them to school and you're afraid to keep them at home. You're afraid of the future. You're afraid of all kinds of stuff causes people to be fearful. This war that's going on in Israel right now, and knowing that we have an open southern border, will cause people to be fearful. Anybody that's got an IQ over 2.5 and pays a little bit of attention knows that there are enemy people who are in our country doing stuff that we wouldn't normally allow. Is that not kind of right? You know, it causes you to be fearful. They let everybody practice real good in March of 2020. That we all got some good practice. We got a virus now. We got the Chinese flu, and it's come to get you. It's going to get you. It's going to get you. It's some got. I'm not denying the dangers of it. Everything you do is dangerous. If you don't believe me, just get in a pickup with a horse trailer behind you and get on the interstate somewhere and go east, north, south, east, west, whichever way you want to go. And you'll know in the first 5 miles it's dangerous. Man, the other day I was headed down to Bryan. They talk about how dangerous it is on an airplane. I was wishing anybody would just beam me up, Scotty, and get me away. If you see a J.B. Hunt truck coming, I'm telling you, run, Forrest. They know nothing about stripes in the middle of the highway. No, everything's dangerous. Everything. There's a lot of stuff. And so we found out that really as a whole, if we're real honest with ourselves, we lend ourselves more to fear than we do true faith. You know why I think that is? I think most of us grew up in a religion that never let us know where God was. I listened to another mainstream preacher this week, and I do that a lot just to hear what some of them are telling. He belongs to a certain tribe, and he's a leader in a certain tribe, and it's trickle-down economics. I mean, church operations is just like a feed yard. They poop at the top, and it runs down the bottom. That's how that goes. It all goes in the pit. Don't be standing in the pit. And so I was listening again. About this whole deal, and it seemed like every time I hit on a subject, it seemed like when I turn on the TV or something sitting in my horse trailer, one of them guys will be on a totally different subject. You know, here a while back, I just said, look, I know about a catching up. I get that. But the narrative on this whole rapture thing is a false narrative the way it's been told for over 100 years, and it gets worse every time they tell it. And I get to telling that around the country a little bit, and the next thing I know, there's one of them big shots has written a book about the disappearance, 31 Steps to the Rapture. So then what we talk about at our meeting the other day about the movement, we talked about the ability to hear God, didn't we? How are you going to obey God if you can't hear God? How many of us had conversations about hearing God and how all of this? And here again, I heard a mainstream guy take his, you know, he said, if you want to hear God, you read this out loud so you can hear what he says because it's all in here. You know what? You got to read this so that you know what you're hearing is God. But the Bible's really clear. My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me. I don't know how you become a scholar of the Bible and cherry pick. I don't know how you become a scholar of the Bible and just continue to drink the Kool-Aid and not question yourself, not question your theology or anything else. But then I also know that those very same people were inundated with Western culture Christianity that I've talked about for a long time. Western culture Christianity says God's up here, we're down here. If you're nice down here, he'll be nice up here. If you're naughty down here, he's going to spank you from up here. But the whole trick in life is to get from here to there, and six guys are going to have to drop you in a hole to get that done. Unless he fires up the love boat and swings by and picks you up. Now, if you were here for Romans 11 the other day, 3 weeks ago, it was very clear that God's had a precise plan that involves the Gentiles, it involves the Jews, and it's about coming to our fullness while we're here. We also know now, after my yapping for a long time and you're studying, that Abraham received a promise from God about being here, about the land, and about your family and generations. These things have been left out of the mix. So if you don't believe, if you've been told all your life that you can't hear God, and you've got this depiction of the Trinity where some guy with white hair and a big white beard sitting on a big chair up here somewhere, and right next to him is a little guy in sandals that's still got scars on his head and his hands and everything else, you know, over here on his right-hand side. And then you got Casper the Friendly Ghost just kind of whip, whip, slipping around and sneaking around and coming up on people and, you know, just, and look, it's kind of how we were told. That's not true. God is three persons in one entity. That is the truth of the Trinity. They operate in unison as one man. And if you don't know where he is and how he is now, you're in a mess. If you don't know that it is God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says real clearly, God is spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the one that's now given us, given life to our mortal bodies. How in the world would you have the kingdom revealed apart from the indwelling, overwhelming, smearing, baptismos relationship with the Holy Ghost? That's the only way we find any kind of righteous living. I tell you, if you'll read your Bible and try to train yourself to do right, you'll be the king of the do-nots. How many of that we got going on? Every week you can go back another Sunday to listen to Moses tell you what not to do this week. When the Holy Spirit is the God of the yes and the amen and the to-do. Be doers of the word, not the do-notters of the word. Be doers. Conviction comes from the Holy Ghost, not the condemnation that comes from your man-made religion. God knows when I'm doing wrong, and God's faithful to line me out. I recognize it was him both times I made a mistake. This morning. Yeah. Why? Because he's here. And he's now. He's with us. Do you know that right where you're at? Because that is the pandemic. We don't operate in the same kind of fear in this little tribe. We don't operate in those very same things because we've worked through it. And because I'm somehow ended up the leader, you don't see me operating in it either. There's two things you're probably not going to see me do. One, you're probably not going to see me operate in perfection. Boy, I'd like to. That'd be great. The other one is you're not going to see me operate in fear. Because I have put myself in that kid's shoes. And I've put myself in Elisha's shoes. And I volunteered to be the only guy in certain situations at certain times. And I don't care. I don't care. I know who's with me. Our depiction of angels. Because church people hadn't seen angels, you just saw the picture somebody drew on the inside of your building. How many of y'all ever seen an angel that was up on there with no feet showing, or maybe they had little slippers on? They was always white. They always had a gold crown or a halo. They always had wings on their back, and a lot of them was blowing a trumpet. Anybody ever seen them painted on your walls? Yeah. I know a lady in this fellowship, know a couple of them that sees angels around here all the time. The angels that come around here, there's a lot of them that are packing. They're carrying swords.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.